I'm stuck in the chicken coop. Oh, man.
Entertaining for you.
This is fantastic.
Uh-huh. There's a latch there so that it doesn't lock on me.
Hey, this is Jared.
Hey, friends. This is Annette, and this is our Azure Farm podcast, where we're going to talk about all things farm, family, home, and all things in between. We hope you enjoy it. Hello, Jared. Is it working?
Hi, everyone.
Yes.
We're excited.
Okay.
Here we go. We're rolling.
Here we go.
As you can see, we're not professionals at this.
We are so professional
Hacks.
At this. Oh, man. Every time we start recording, there's always like a little glitch in the system. But I have a fun, very short little story to start off. Yesterday, I decided to go to the store. And it was a little later in the day. Usually I go earlier. And so this was like, oh, let me just make a quick run for it. But, you know, we don't live like 5 minutes from the store. It's a little ways. So I was like, oh, got to make this happen before it's dark. I was taking Ava with me. I knew she'd get sleepy. So I'm thinking of all these things. I get in the car and I decided to drive Jared's truck because I could not find the key to my car. That happens all the time. And I decided to drive Jared's truck. So I am slowly pulling away from our driveway, you know, just like driving, thinking, you know, Ava's in the back and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go get this stuff. Then I got to go do this, you know, a to-do list. And like very vaguely, like out of the corner of my eye,
I'm
see
running down the driveway.
Jared's like, no, it was like thrashing.
Oh, okay.
No, flailing.
Flailing, yeah.
Like that with was the arms, like stop, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with him? First of all, like, why is he chasing me? And you know, I don't know, sometimes if you like kind of have all these thoughts run through your mind at one time.
Flailing, you made me sound like a gorilla.
No, you were flailing. All these thoughts went through my mind, and I'm like ran through scenario like A, B, C of like why Jared would be running with his arms in the air and his legs so fast. You know, I'm like, man, I have no idea. I guess
so
I should stop. And then I look and he's like saying, stop the car. I'm like, wow, this is so dramatic. Like, what in the world?
Well, I'm thinking, is this woman blind? Does she not see me running down the driveway like a gorilla?
Yeah. So I stop the truck. I roll down my window and look out like, what is your problem? What is... you know, there was some trash bags in the back of the truck. So I thought maybe...
Maybe I love trash.
Maybe he was so passionate, or it was like, you know, gonna fly out and all that, whatever. And then Jared says the thing. If I would have bet money, you know, I'm not like a betting person, but like if I would have bet money, the last thing in the world I would have thought that he was gonna say was what he said. So here we go. I roll down the window, and Jared runs up. And says,
puffing. Are you taking this chicken with you?
Say what?
There's a chicken in the back of the truck who didn't like to fly out as you drove flying down the driveway, but instead he's clucking away, cluck, 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 cluck. And I had to help him get out of the back of the truck before he became a roadkill.
So I guess maybe because there was a trash bag back there, this chicken was smart and was like, hey, let me get me some food. And then it was like, oh, hey, it's a moving vehicle. And so the chicken, there was a chicken in the back of the truck bed, basically.
Yep, big old chicken.
Jared did the flailing intervention. It's almost like you skated down the driveway, like a figure
almost.
Skater.
I was McGilla Gorilla.
Is that a thing?
That was a reference for all the millennials in the crowd. Actually, that might be a Zennial or a Gen X.
I actually do not know what you're talking about.
Okay, never mind. Go on.
What is it?
It's a cartoon.
Oh, boy. Okay.
That might be older. I'm going to look it up. Keep going.
Okay. So, I thought, apart from that fun little story, Thanksgiving is coming up next week, and Thanksgiving has always been a really special time in my family, and I thought I would touch a little bit on that. My parents came from Cuba, 30 years ago. No, that's not right. 40? I don't know. 40 years ago. 40. I'm 30. Okay. 40 years ago. They came to the United States from Cuba. And when they left Cuba, you know, the condition in Cuba, it's still a communist country. It's not the easiest thing to leave or enter, that sort of thing. So when you are asked to leave, which they were, you basically leave with nothing. So they came on a little boat. We're going to have to interview my parents on this. I don't think we've ever told this story, but...
Yeah, if anyone doesn't understand communism, the story of Cuba is an amazing story and lead you to believe why two individuals, like Annette's parents, would get on a boat and leave everyone and everything behind to escape.
Yeah.
That's a very interesting phenomenon. Yeah.
Yeah. So my parents came, and when they came to the United States, it was literally, not just figuratively, with the clothes on their back. And my dad was a minister in Cuba. And so when he came here, he was kind of assigned to go somewhere for like 6 months to hopefully learn English, which was really hard on my parents. I mean, they arrived to United States in their 30s. So if you think about it, you know, we're in our 30s now. You've basically lived, you know, a lot of your life. You're settled in your ways, and then trying to start a new life and a new language, that's really hard. So they were in Michigan for a little bit, and then they were transferred to Kansas City. And when they arrived to Kansas City, my dad, since he was a minister, he was assigned to a little small church to kind of help with a group there. There was the main pastor of that church, and his name was Randy, and his wife was Marty. And if you think of the communication barrier, you know, my parents didn't really speak English. They're in this new place. It's awkward. It's weird. And it was like their first year, you know, their first Thanksgiving in the United States, all these things. And Randy and Marty kind of took them in. It was like, you are our friends now. We care for you. We want to help you. Not knowing a whole lot about them, they instantly clicked. And it was really cool because they developed a great friendship. And Randy and Marty were a little older than my parents. I think they're like 15 years older than my parents. So when I was born, automatically it was Uncle Randy and Aunt Marty. And what I think is really cool is that their friendship now, you know, 40 years in, went through a lot of different things. My parents moved, they moved, different parts of the country. But one thing that was always kind of the thing to do and did remain somewhat consistent was that every Thanksgiving they would still get together. So whether that was in West Virginia or in Kansas City, they would get together for Thanksgiving. And they always made jokes. Oh, let me see if I get this right. The Uncle Randy and Aunt Marty were here in America, so they were like the Indians, Native American Indians who were in America. And then the Pilgrims would be my parents who came from Cuba on a boat, because the Pilgrims came on a boat. So that was the kind of little joke that they would always say. So growing up, we would do Thanksgiving at Uncle Randy and Aunt Marty's. And let me tell you a little bit about them. So they live in a small little town. And when I say small, I mean small town in West Virginia. And for most of the time, they lived in West Virginia. So growing up, Thanksgiving was in West Virginia. And we would go there. It's cold, right? Kansas City was cold, but West Virginia was like really cold. Lots of snow. So Thanksgiving a lot of times had snow. And you'd wake up in the morning of Thanksgiving, and Aunt Marty would already be in the kitchen making something. So what I am most fond about is that she would can and preserve so much food. So this was a couple who, as the years went on, they were older. They would always still have this huge garden. And if you would go down into her basement, I remember there was this really cool little closet that had tons of canned goods. Did you see that closet? I think you did. So green beans, tomatoes, I mean, I don't even know, whatever you can, applesauce, all these things. There was this wonderful closet there, and that is where all the canned goods were. So come Thanksgiving, it was like, go get the canned green beans, go down in the basement into the cellar. I guess it was like a little cellar. And it would be this whole process of cooking and sitting together and doing Thanksgiving together. And it's such a fond memory that I have. And it's one thing that I think is really interesting, apart from the fact that they befriended my family so much and were such good friends, It's the fact that I developed a bond with people who were much older than me, who were not my immediate family members. They kind of became like family. But don't you think a lot of times nowadays, sometimes you go places or even some churches and they'll be like, this is a special program just for kids. Or you go to something, I mean, this is, I'm talking kind of pre-coronavirus, but let's imagine coronavirus-free world, how you would go somewhere and, oh, this is the area for the kids to hang out. Here's the area for the adults to hang out. And it's almost like our society nowadays has created this divide a little bit with the generational gaps or things like that. And I just feel it was so special growing up to do so many things with people that were older, to learn from them, for them to teach me. I know Aunt Marty taught me how to can, which was really cool. And now I feel like, oh, now we live on a farm, kind of like how they were. And I learned all these things from them. And I don't know. I just feel like there's such a value and such an importance to being raised with people of all ages around you and learning from them and getting wisdom from them. We interviewed a long time ago, I'll link to that podcast, but there's a family that I follow on Instagram who their grandfather lives with them, and he is 103 now, I believe. And we interviewed him, and it was just so cool to hear that he lives at home with them, and all the little grandchildren get to hear his stories and all those things. And so I just think it's so important. Did you have experience where you kind of had people in your life that were older that you did the stuff with and things like that?
I did. It's very valuable.
I think for me it was invaluable, I guess. Is that the word?
I do think that's the word, yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
To have that time. With
it's a different world different world though now. With everyone in the debt cycle they're in, trying to keep up with the Joneses, grandparents have to work now. So I just think time is disappearing. Everybody in the house now usually has to work. So it's like you don't have that bandwidth in culture where in yesteryear it was grandparents would naturally have time to
be around,
teach kids classes and be around, and now it's just struggling to, you know, pay medical bills and things. So kind of a different world, but definitely a blessing and luxury for anybody who does have grandparents that, you know, are able to be around. And
or not even grandparents. I mean, in this case, I guess I'm just referring to, I call them Uncle Randy and Aunt Marty.
Right.
They were not direct family members. And I think a lot of us probably have that older couple you know of. So I guess I would say my suggestion is if you do have an older couple in your life that you don't really know a lot of or spend any time with, or, you know, ask them questions next time you see them or involve them in something, especially if you have children. I think it'd be cool to have them get to know them and things like that, because that's just so important. And I'd love that for Ava, you know, to have that with not just her grandparents, but with other people, you know, that are around and can maybe teach her things. And there's just so many things that are
another reason to be healthy,
though.
And,
I know, right?
Think about how many people with lifestyle-related issues, like by that, I mean disease.
Yeah, that's true.
So, man, so many things that affect that dynamic that cultures in the past took, you know, arguably they took it for granted. Now it's like, many people aren't even living long enough to have those people around.
You're so right. Ugh. Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah.
Be healthy.
I know, man. Well, anyways, as Thanksgiving approaches, and it's a really kind of, I think it's one of the only, really only what we call a holiday, at least in America, that's not as commercialized and that is an actual kind of thing, not based on like, tales and stories or things, you know, it's an actual thing that we think happened. And it's just the thought of friendship and really kind of reaching your hand and befriending someone and asking them to be a, you know, a part of your family, things like that. And so I know this year is probably a little different for most, just with everything that's going on, but it doesn't mean you can't reach out to someone or call them or FaceTime them or message them. And, you know, just let people really know how much you appreciate them. And giving thanks is so important. I don't think we do it enough. And right now, with everything going on in our world, it's hard to not be positive. And I think it's very important to give thanks despite everything and find those things to be grateful for, and health being one of them.
Yeah, it's actually been hijacked. You think about it. We spend all the billions on Halloween, then we jump to Christmas.
I know, it's like you got no chance
skip the gratitude. You need more. Get it at Christmas.
I know. And it is hard because Thanksgiving does get kind of pushed. And I mean, I'm one of those, you know, I'm decorating for Christmas, and I think it's just more so the kind of fun, cozy lights and all of that. But Thanksgiving is still very important. And I hope to teach little Ava to be thankful and give thanks in the little things and the big things. And yeah, I did. There's a friend of mine called Sarah Jo. She's from Briarton Farm. And she drew this beautiful turkey. She does watercolor illustrations. And she drew this beautiful turkey. It's her turkey named Gilbert. And she did it on a printable that has, you know, numbers and lines. And you can write things you are thankful for. So I'll link to that here for the podcast. But I feel like if you guys can print that, maybe together with your family on Thanksgiving, everyone can talk about what you're thankful for this year and write it down, put it somewhere you can look at it. Because I think sometimes it's good to see and be reminded of why you are grateful or why you should be grateful. So anyways, as Thanksgiving approaches, take time to give thanks. And I'm grateful for all the people that have been in my life, and hopefully this can be a special Thanksgiving for everyone, despite all that's going on.
So make it count.
Make it count.
Don't take it for granted.
Don't. We will not be eating Tom the turkey here for our Thanksgiving. He is our he is for our entertainment, but you know, we'll be eating other fun, delicious things. So stay tuned for more on that, and have a wonderful rest of your week. And we will be back next week.